are going to be in the Old Testament tonight. I know that sounds as thrilling as a root canal, but we are going to be in the Old Testament. We are going to be in the Old Testament tonight, and we are going to be in 2 Samuel chapter 13, if you've got your Bible. This is quite a gripping story, let me tell you. This is unlike anything else you will read, and we will jump into it in just a minute. We're going to start a new series called Clutched. We will go through six different things that clutch at us today, not just teens, but adults as well. We'll talk about anger. We'll talk about depression. We will talk about anxiety. We will talk about lust, and we will talk about fear. So those are some things that we're going to cover over the next couple weeks. I will not be here next week, and then after that, we will continue on throughout it. I have a couple announcements after we get done with the service about what we're doing on October 25th and some other things. But we will be in this series for a little while. And the reason that we're doing this is because we want people to understand, we want there to be a belief in the fact that you can be freed from what clutches at you. As you see in the picture, you've got that hand up grasping or looking for salvation. There are things in life that are just going to clutch at you, and they're going to try and pull you down, and they're going to try and keep you down from doing or being what you're supposed to be. Well, in our world today, there's really no doubt about the fact that sex sells. That everybody that was just talking looks up when they say the word sex. But sex sells, because in our day and age, in our culture, everything that's pushed on you, everything that's pushed on anybody, if you watch the Super Bowl halftime show, if you watch Super Bowl commercials, if you watch any commercial, if you watch or if you listen to any music, there's some form of sex throughout the entirety of it. And in fact, even in Christian music, they do it, but they do it in a way to try and redeem sexuality, not to push it as far as fornication. So it's throughout our entire culture because sex sells. So no matter what, you've got a Hardee's burger that this woman is eating, who's probably never eaten a Hardee's burger in her entire life because of how thin she is, and it's making it all about sex appeal when it's a stinking burger. So the reason that they do it is because sex sells in today's culture. And so what we're going to talk about tonight is that the world can't seem to get away from promoting and going after and trying to attach lust to people. They can't get away from promoting lust. Girls are changed into objects of desire rather than daughters of God. Men are changed into this idea of making other people jealous by the way they look or by the way they act or how cool they are, rather than being focused on the fact that they're a son or a child of God. So you have this war that goes within you, that goes within our culture nowadays about this idea called lust. Now, when we think lust, we think just guys. And in fact, the story that we're going to pop into tonight is very much a guy caught in lust story. But this is not just for guys. Girls can lust as well. And in fact, there are many girls, and there are a lot of girls that are clutched by that. The idea of clutch is to grasp or seize tightly. So the idea is that as I'm clutched by this sin, I cannot get out of it, or I cannot get away from it, because it keeps pulling me back down. So that's the point of this. And we're going to look in 2 Samuel 13. I'm just telling you, you're in for a ride as we read 2 Samuel 13. There's not too many things that I debate with God about reading to you on a Wednesday night. This was one of them. So after this, Absalom, the son of David, had a lovely sister whose name was Tamar, and Amnon, the son of David, loved her. Amnon was so distressed over his sister Tamar that he became sick. Automatically, you should be going, what? For she was a virgin, and it was improper for Amnon to do anything to her, you think? But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother. And now Jonadab was a very crafty man. And he said to him, why are you, the king's son, becoming thinner day after day? In other words, you can eat whatever you want. Why are you getting thinner? Will you not tell me? So Amnon said to him, I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister. So Jonadab, remember the crafty guy, says to him, lie down in your bed and pretend to be ill. And when your father comes to see you, say to him, please let my sister Tamar come and give me food. Prepare the food in my sight that I may see it and eat it from her hand. So that happens. David comes in and he responds and does all this different stuff. So Tamar went to her brother in verse 8 Amnon's house. He was lying down. She took flour, kneaded it, made cakes in his sight, and baked the cakes. She took the pan, placed them out before him, but he refused to eat. Then Amnon said, "Have everyone go out from me," and they all went out for him. Then Amnon said to Tamar, "Bring the food into the bedroom that I may eat from your hand." Now you should at this point be getting a picture of what's about to happen, and it should make your stomach a little uneasy. And Tamar took the cakes which she had made and brought them to Amnon, her brother, in the bedroom. Now when she had brought them to him to eat, he took hold of her and said to her, "Come, lie with me," in other words, "have sex with me, my sister." But she answered him, "No, my brother, do not force me, for no such thing should be done in Israel. Do not do this disgraceful thing. And I, where could I take my shame? And as for you, you would be like one of the fools in Israel. Now therefore, please speak to the king, for he will not withhold me from you." So here's what she's trying to say. Don't force this. If it's so necessary to you, go speak to King David and ask for it, and he may allow it. But don't make it where it's both shameful for both of us. Make this legal and make it where I have a husband and I'm still involved in this royalty thing. So she's saying this to her. And he says, however, or it says in verse 14, however, he would not heed her voice, and being stronger than she, he forced her and lay with her. So he rapes her. Then Amnon, verse 15, hated her exceedingly, so that the hatred with which he hated her was greater than the love with which he had loved her. And Amnon said to her, "Arise, be gone." So she says to him, "No, please. This evil of sending me away is worse than the other that you did to me." But he would not listen to her. And then he called his servant who attended him and said, "Here, put this woman out away from me," and bolt the door behind her. Now she had on a robe of many colors, because in the king's house, virgin daughters wore that apparel. And his servant put her out and bolted the door behind her. Then Tamar put ashes on her head and tore her robe of many colors that was on her, and laid her hand on her head and went away crying bitterly. In that day and age, in order to mourn, they would tear their clothes and heap ashes on their head. It was a way for people to know that you were mourning something very serious. And Absalom, in verse 20, her brother said to her, "Has Amnon your brother been with you? But now hold your peace, my sister. He is your brother. Do not take this thing to heart." So Tamar remained desolate in her brother Absalom's house. Now, when King David heard of all these things, he was very angry. And Absalom spoke to his brother Amnon, neither good nor bad, for Absalom hated Amnon because he had forced his sister Tamar. Well, we see lust, we see incest, and we see rape. And who said the Bible wasn't interesting, am I right? But you see all of these things, you see all of these things within one chapter of Scripture. Now, this is an extreme example, okay, of lust gone wild. It's a very extreme example. But in this passage, you can see principles that we can gain from this passage in order to get away from or to stay away from being clutched by lust, because especially for guys, but even for girls, there is this constant pull and this constant pressure to do what everybody else is doing, or to allow yourself to be involved with what everybody else is doing. And it's this being caught up in the idea of this lust. So we see Amnon struggling with a couple of things. The first one is seeking wise counsel. So Amnon goes to Jonadab. Now this is another message entirely, because these words just speak volumes, but it says, and Amnon had a friend. And Amnon had a friend. Okay, then the Bible goes on to say that he was very crafty. So Amnon, as he goes to Jonadab, his crafty friend, knows that Jonadab is a crafty friend. Y'all know who your friends are that can lie to their parents and get away with it. You know who your friends are that if you needed to get out of a bind with a lie, they would be the one to go to. Or they're the ones who are your worst friends in the way they treat their parents, whatever. You know you can classify in your mind where you would put people. So Amnon, having this issue that he's got this lust in his heart, and he says, I'll go to Jonadab. Why? Because Jonadab was crafty. And Amnon knew that if he went to Jonadab, he wouldn't get wise counsel. He would get somebody who'd say, I'll show you what to do. I'll help you figure it out. So when you have that friend, you're like, oh man, my parents won't let me date this person, and I really want to date him. I'll talk to Jonadab. We'll both meet over at Jonadab's house. You know, like that's Jonadab. So here you have Amnon, who is struggling to seek wise counsel. Let me just make a blanket statement, okay? This is not against any of you. But if you are struggling, and let me say this towards Amnon. If I was speaking to Amnon right now, Amnon, if you are struggling with lust towards your sister, you need much bigger help than Jonadab, okay? You need wise counsel, not crafty counsel, okay? If you are struggling with being clutched by lust, whether that be on a computer screen or with a person, no matter what it is, you need wise counsel, not crafty counsel. It's very simple to go to your friend and be like, bruh, I'm struggling with looking at porn. That dude's like, yo, all right, here's how you get around the filters. Okay, that's different than going to somebody and saying, I'm really struggling with this, and that person saying, you know what, let's look in God's word and let's get victory over it. Okay, there's a difference between wise counsel and crafty counsel, but here he is going after crafty counsel. If you're clutched by lust, you've got to go after wise counsel on how to get out of it. And we'll talk at the end about how to get out of this clutch of lust. But there's this idea of seeking wise counsel that Amnon was struggling with. You see him struggling with setting a plan to fail. Why on earth would you, for any other reason than what he had in mind, be in your bedroom to eat when you were sick with your sister? So there was this plan in his mind ahead of time that I'm going to plan to fail. And some of you struggle with being clutched by lust because you plan to fail. Oh, I've failed because every time I'm alone with this boy, we do things, but I think this time I'm strong enough and I'm not going to let him. So I'll go out with him alone again. Plan to fail. You've planned to fail, okay? I'm not saying, well, I'm a strong, independent woman and I can do what I want. Yeah, you can plan to fail. You sure can. Because if you've done it before and you go out again to do it, more than likely you are going to do it again. Take it from somebody who's failed. So if you plan to fail, you will fail. So when you get crafty counsel, they will always craft a plan to fail. And you will always walk away with the idea that you've got this great idea that's definitely going to help you, but in the back of your mind, you're already thinking, but I may end up doing this. Guys, if you struggle with looking at pornography on your phone in your bedroom, daggone, leave your phone outside. I will buy you a $5 alarm clock if that's what it takes. Put it out of the room. Don't be like, well, this time I'll just put it next to the bed and I'll be fine. Okay, whatever you struggle with, make a plan to succeed, not a plan to fail, not a plan to go after something that you're not supposed to go after. Make a plan to succeed. So he seeks, or he doesn't seek wise counsel. He doesn't set a plan to succeed. He does it to fail. But then he's going to suffer the consequences. At the end of the chapter, he dead. Absalom kills him because of this very instance. But here's what I want us to understand, okay? Here's what I want us to understand. And again, we're going to be very adult for just a few minutes. So this did not just affect Amnon and his, oh, now get out of here, and now he's dead. It didn't just affect him. It affected Tamar. Tamar was, in our day and age, a princess who would have been wed to royalty of some kingdom. Now, granted, in that day, it was normally arranged marriages, but she would have had all of the abilities of a royal princess to be wed off. You know what she spent the rest of her life being? A prostitute. Because in that day and age, if someone took your virginity away from you and sent you out without marrying you, you were put into what was called the king's harem, and then that was pretty much a sex servant. They would serve and do stuff around the house, but whenever the king wanted, he would call one of them, and then he would be able to sleep with them. So she spent the rest of her life doing that, all because Amnon was clutched by lust. It doesn't just affect you, it affects them. Guys who struggle with looking at pornography never think about the struggle for those girls who have to go on to all of these things later on in life, and all the counseling and all therapy that they have to go through because of how they were abused on a computer screen. Girls don't ever think about the fact or guys don't ever think about the way that the girls think about themselves and their body image and things like that after they've had these things done. There is no thought for the consequences that will happen in Amnon's mind. That all started because he didn't seek wise counsel. Because there was nobody there going, dude, this is something majorly wrong. There's something majorly wrong with this. And I don't know where this is spurring from, but it's sin. And we need to get it corrected. Instead, he gets crafty counsel that gives him a plan to fail. And then because of that, he dies in suffering the consequences. Now, I'm not telling you that if you've looked at a pornography on a computer screen, you're going to die. Absalom's going to come back from the dead and bleh, you know, after you. But there are going to be consequences that you will have to suffer. There are going to be things that you will have to go through as a consequence. And you may think that this is an extreme story. There's no way that I'd ever do anything that crazy. But I got to ask you the question. Do you ever think when Amnon was growing up, he thought, I'm going to rape my sister Tamar? No. Why on earth would that thought process happen to him? But I'll tell you what happened. There was a lustful thought that was in his mind, and it may have just been once, but he allowed it to play out. And he allowed it to grow in his mind and grow to where we were like, ugh. But in his mind, it had grown and grown and grown and grown and grown to the point where it made him physically ill because he was so clutched by lust. And you may think like, that's like old school, man. There nobody's like that. I have seen guys who are so addicted to pornography that if they don't look at it, they will feel sick after a while because they're so clutched by lust. So don't think it's just an old-time story, but it started off as that lustful thought. So in Psalm 32, and then we're done, this is the way to get out of that clutch of lust. Now, I know some of you are like, I don't really struggle with that. I don't even really like people. But there can be lust for other things. It's not just sex, okay? You can lust after things that aren't sexual. It's just lust is used normally with the idea of sex. But in Psalm 32, David, by the way, who saw Bathsheba bathing on a rooftop and couldn't control his lust. He was clutched by his lust. So he calls her. He doesn't seek wise counsel. He calls her over to his house. He sets a plan to fail. He has sex with her. She gets pregnant. He goes out and has the husband killed, and then his son, who is born from Bathsheba, dies later on as a consequence for his sin. This is his contemplating what happened. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. By the way, Psalm 51 is where he kind of writes his repentance prayer. But blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent, when I allowed that lust to clutch, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long. For day and night it was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer. But then I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. For this cause, everyone who is godly shall pray to you. In a time when you may be found, surely in a flood of great waters, they shall not come near him. You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance. I will instruct you, this is God speaking back, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Do not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with bit and bridle, else they will not come near you. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. Don't be like the mule or the horse that has to have the bit in its mouth in order for it to turn. That it has to be driven by someone controlling it in order for it to do the right thing. Man, seek wise counsel, but the way to get out of your lust, of that clutch of lust, is to confess it to God and ask him for help, is to go to him and say, I am putting my transgression before you, and I'm open, and you can see it, but God, would you please rid me of this? Would you please take away these thoughts? Would you please get rid of these desires? Would you take and cleanse me? In Psalm 19, it talks about cleanse me thoroughly from all my iniquity. Would you wash me and purge me and make me to be what you would have me to be? That's how you get out of the clutch of lust. That's how you get out of that pull of doing something you know is absolutely wrong. That's what you're supposed to do. So if you find yourself clutched by lust, if you find yourself being pulled down by this sin in your mind or in your heart, man, don't go to a Jonadab. Don't go seek crafty counsel, because you're going to set up a plan to fail, and then you're going to suffer the consequences from it. Now, I know all you guys in your sex ed classes, or sorry, whatever they're called nowadays, parent and family or whatever, health, whatever it is, they call it health now. It used to be sex ed. But, okay, well, you'll get to it. But wherever they went, wherever they talk about it, they'll kind of scare you with, this is how many teens get pregnant and you should use control and all those different things. But here's the thing. If you weren't clutched by lust, that wouldn't be an issue. Like, if you didn't struggle so much with being desiring of all the things you should wait for until marriage, this wouldn't be an issue. So go to God in Psalm 32 and pray to him and say, my transgressions before you, would you take these things away? And get rid of being clutched by lust. Get rid of being captured with the thoughts and the drive and the wanting and the desires of your heart. You can be free from it. Just go to God and get it right. But man, don't go after Jonadab. Don't make a plan to fail, because I love you and I don't want to see you suffer the consequences. Let's pray. I have a couple other announcements and then we are done. Father, Lord, I know, God, it is hard when you see people talk the entire time to feel like you're speaking in a room. God, it's difficult when you know people aren't paying attention to feel like you are speaking in hearts. God, I pray that my heart and my mind would be in the right place. Lord, would you allow me to not get distracted with those things? Would you allow your word to speak freely from my lips and from my heart and from my soul? God, when I wrote this message, when you gave it to me and I spent time poring over it and just praying that it would be used tonight, Lord, I know that we have some in our youth group who struggle with this. I know it. And so, God, I pray that this would be clear to them, that you would help it to speak to their heart, that it would change them, and that they would follow you more wholeheartedly because of tonight. And Lord, I pray as we go out into our schools tomorrow and into our work and into our lives, that you would help us to be people who would seek wise counsel, me as well, that we would make plans to succeed instead of fail, so that we don't have to suffer the consequences. Lord, would we always look at you and say, my heart is open, my transgressions are before you, wash me, purge me, clean me, and make me more like you. We love you, Lord, and we need you. It's in your Son's name I pray. Amen. Before